Jesus calls us to bless those who curse us. Jesus calls us to forgive our enemies. Is it possible?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are really going to focus on the words of Jesus today and some of the principles of the New Testament by which we are called to live. It's Tuesday on the Line of Fire. We focus on teaching, on theology, and apologetics, on living for God. And we're going to look at some of the most important teaching of the New Testament that lays out how we are to live in the midst of our interpersonal conflicts and conflicts with the world. No one said it's easy, but God's way, which is death to the flesh, brings life and brings transformation. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I also want to weigh in with a few further thoughts, a carryover from yesterday's broadcast, in terms of the moral malaise on this younger generation. And throughout our society, the inability to think scripturally, the inability to think clearly and logically. And I wrote an article taking in the survey that we did at the Gay Pride event over the weekend. And the title of I'm quoting from a dialogue that some of our folks had with two young ladies who said they were church-going Christians about homosexual practice. It's a sin, but I'm not against it. That's the title of the article. It's a sin, but I'm not against it. And in the article, I link to the video interview, the full interview with these two young ladies. It's been viewed about 2,500 times since it was posted yesterday afternoon. You do want to see it. Trust me. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest article, and then click on the latest video as well. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in, to give your feedback. 866-348-7884. I published this article a few days back, 5 reasons to bless those who curse you. We are in conflict with the world. There's always going to be hostility. There's always going to be misunderstanding. There will always be people who oppose us. If we act the very best we know how, we are godly in our conduct by God's grace. We are kind to others. We walk in compassion and love to others. We'll still be hated. After all, Jesus was. And Jesus tells us that if the world hated him, it will hate us also. It doesn't mean every single individual. And we are to do our best to have a good reputation with those on the outside. But in point of fact, even if we, are totally Christ-like, we will be hated and rejected by the world. In fact, the more we are like the Son of God, the more we emulate the character of the Messiah, the more we will be treated the way he was treated, because it's a conflict between light and darkness. Well, what do we do with these conflicts? I'm not talking about the issue of if your family was attacked by terrorists, is it all right for you to defend yourself or to try to protect your family? We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the larger issues of should America go to war. Although Thursday, I do want to talk to you about what's happening in Syria and get your perspectives as well. An incredibly volatile situation there in the Middle East. But I want to focus on how we relate to our enemies, how we relate to those who curse us, how we relate to those who attack us and malign us. Someone read the article and then said, fine words to live by, really, and I do want to, but cannot. And he basically said, rather than trying to forgive my enemies, they're just going to take that as weakness. If I bless those who curse me, he said, I'm going to go polish my sword. How do we deal with that kind of attitude? 866-34-TRUTH. Prepare to be challenged.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Having gay sex is against the Bible.
And you're a Christian?
Yes, I'm a Christian.
And do you believe it's sin?
It's a sin, but I'm not against it. I think okay. You're forgiven no matter what. Okay. You're forgiven for everything what except not believing.
If somebody tells you that you have been deceived, don't let them change you.
No, just go on. Stick your head in the sand. See, the problem is, friends, the problem is that young people today and older people hold some of the views they do because of ambiguity coming from the pulpit, because of lack of clarity coming from the pulpit, because of lack of clear teaching and preaching, delineating what sin is. 866-348-7884. That's a little part of the clip, not the music part, but little part of the video clip, that interview with these two young ladies who said they were church-going Christians. We put the video up not so they would be mocked, but to illustrate what's happening with this younger generation and to give you a burden to pray. Again, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the latest article, which gives you the larger picture. It's called It's a Sin, But I'm Not Against It. And then click on the latest video to watch this video interview. 866-348-7884. And let me say something very, very clearly before I focus on this issue today of five reasons to bless those who curse you and to help you interpersonally in struggles where somebody's wronged you, somebody's hurt you, you've been separated relationally from someone for years. Somebody's really done you wrong in a church split and it's actually caused harm to you and your family. What kind of attitude should you have in your heart towards those people? Some of you have been in abusive marital relationships and it's been terribly painful and difficult for you. And you can't control a lot of things about it, but you can control, with God's grace and help, what's in your heart. So I really want to be practical today. This is not just a matter of praying for someone while you're in prison for the faith and they're torturing you, because that's not the case for most of us here. It is the case with believers in other parts of the world, but it's not the case for most of us here. However, we all have to deal with interpersonal issues. We all have to deal with splits and controversies and things like that. But before I get into that, I want to say one thing very, very clearly. And please shout this out to others on my behalf. In recent months, I've had interaction with some folks on Pastor John MacArthur's team and public interaction in terms of articles that I've written about his upcoming Strange Fire conference and concerns that I've had that there was a throwing out of the baby with the bathwater, that there is a lack of recognition of the wonderful things the Holy Spirit is doing on the earth today, while agreeing that there are many extremes and abuses that need to be addressed. But as I've said these things, I've said them in the context of great appreciation for Pastor MacArthur, great esteem for the clarity of his message and the strong emphasis on the lordship of Jesus and holiness of life and character. So I want to reiterate my appreciation for leaders like John MacArthur, who have never compromised when it's come to sin, who have been very strong on the calling for believers to obey Jesus and to live holy lives by his grace and power. And I thank God for everyone on any of the radio stations where I am. I don't know everyone who broadcasts on every station across America where we're on the air, but I want to thank God for those who are uncompromised. I don't mean mean-spirited. I don't mean angry and hostile. I mean uncompromised. I thank God for every pastor and leader that's listening to me, or if you're part of a congregation, your pastors and leaders who are men and women, leaders of integrity, and speak the truth, and don't compromise, and don't calculate politically, and don't try to figure out, well, if I say this, will people like me? You know, this area is just too hot. We're told by our team, this area is just too hot. We don't want to touch it because it's going to cause controversy. Well, the question is, does God want you to touch it? The question is it needful to touch it? The question is, is it right in God's sight? It may not be pragmatic in natural strategy, but it's never been about natural strategy. So I want to commend all those who stand for what's right and who speak the truth. But I want to encourage others who have been on the sidelines. I want to encourage others who have been fearful to address certain issues, that you can speak the truth in love, that you can speak the truth without being hostile, mean-spirited, or angry. You can be passionate. You can have conviction. You can speak with a broken heart. One of my colleagues, a powerful evangelist, would tell it like it is. There'd be all kinds of sinners in the meeting and people visibly lost. I mean, you could see when they walked in, they didn't know the Lord. They were lost. Their lives were messed up. And my friend would preach the truth passionately and would tell it like it is and would warn about judgment and hell and speak of the judgment seat and speak of the need to repent and put their faith in Jesus. And they'd come up to him crying and hugging him afterwards because they knew he loved them, because he preached it with tears. It's one thing for me to just get in your face and to challenge you in a certain way that is obnoxious and fleshly. It's one thing to be right about a point but wrong in our attitude and spirit. It's another thing to be meek and gracious and yet leave out the truth. Speak the truth in love. All right, and I've got some more clips I want to play for you as we go on, and your calls are always welcome, 866-348-7884. How did God deal with you when you were lost? How did God deal with you when you were lost? How did God treat you before you knew him? Did he give you what your sin deserved? Some of you were raised in church. I wasn't. I was raised in a conservative Jewish home on Long Island. I did not have the benefit of hearing about Jesus as a boy. I had the benefit of being raised by wonderful, devoted parents with a great marriage and strong morals. But I didn't have the gospel preached to me until I was a heavy rebellious sinner, 16 years old. But I look at how God dealt with me. I look at the incredible patience and mercy that he had on me. Did God damn you when he had the opportunity because of your sin? Maybe you were raised in the church and you walked away from the Lord. Did he kill you then? Obviously not, because you're alive and breathing today. Did he curse us with eternal judgment the first moment he had the opportunity? No, no. He sent his son to die for us, showing us mercy when we deserve wrath. Friends, that's the pattern we must follow when dealing with the lost. Otherwise, we'll only repeat the cycle of hatred and anger. So last week, I wrote an article, talked about it on the air, Governor Christie signs discrimination into law. And someone posted a comment in response to my article. We'll just use his initials, HB. What Brown is telling is lies, and he has an IQ of a five-year-old. I have a PhD in homosexuality. Okay, great. Well, then later in the day, my colleague and friend Matt Barber retweeted the article. So for those who aren't familiar with this, through social media, through an online network, he sent this out to others and said it's a must-read. So my colleague Matt Barber told others, read my article. Then I see that this same person, HB, wrote this, blanking blank holes with an IQ of a five-year-old, and then said, blanking blank heads, all of this spelled out, all the profanity spelled out, who should get brain cancer and not exist anymore. This is what you would call someone cursing you, someone using these words against you. That would be someone cursing you. So I tweeted back to him, may God's truth and grace be yours. That was my response to his angry, hateful words. May God's truth and grace be yours. And you posted that you have a PhD in homosexuality. Where did you earn that? I just wanted to ask that question to push forward the discussion and to expose some things. But when I went to his page where he was maligning others, someone, Christian leader, would just have a gospel message and he's maligning them, not wishing them brain cancer, but maligning them in other ways, I thought, what a lost soul. What a lost soul. I don't know if he's a backslider. I don't know if he's just hurt. I don't know if he's just bound by sin and angry. But what a lost soul. I didn't have anger towards him because God's had such extraordinary mercy on me. We come back. I want to start to lay out principles, five principles by which we bless those who curse us. And we'll address those who say, I just can't. I can't. And it's a sign of weakness when I respond like that.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what? I'm a Christian. And listen, to each their own. I don't know if I wouldn't say, I don't know, closest. I don't know.
Please.
I don't know if I would do that, but to each their own. And, you know, that doesn't, I mean, Kanye still believes in God and he goes to church and he's still... Like, it doesn't take away from what his beliefs are.
Yeah, that's it. That's the gospel of today. To each his own, to each her own. Those were the words of Khloe Kardashian, speaking of her brother-in-law, Kanye West, whose most recent project, album called Yeezus, has created a good deal of controversy. But hey! You live how you live and sing what you sing and put out what you put out. And that doesn't take away from your beliefs, right? I mean, what do your beliefs have to do with how you live? I mean, what do your beliefs have to do with morality? You certainly can't judge others, right? I mean, that is the mindless gospel of this generation. And it's poured out through the media to open minds, just drinking it in without critically thinking it through. 866-348-7884. But we're talking about renewing our minds and our hearts with the character of Jesus, renewing our minds and our hearts with the attitude of Jesus. And the attitude of Jesus was not, he didn't fight the way the world fought. Oh, he rebuked unrighteousness, and he exposed religious hypocrisy. But let's remember, when it came time for his crucifixion, he didn't fight. He told Peter, put your sword back into the sheath. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Any attempt to paint Jesus as some type of political freedom fighter and zealot, as a recent best-selling book has done, or as my friend Rabbi Shmuley did a few years ago, is completely undermined by the entire testimony of the New Testament. And I demonstrate that clearly in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, especially the chapter of the Lamb that was slain. God overcomes the evil and hatred of the world, not by pouring out evil and hatred. God overcomes the evil and hatred of the world, not by pouring out ferocious wrath every time someone falls short. Otherwise, the whole world would have been burned up a long time ago. Oh, and you and me as believers would have been burned up a long time ago if God was going to severely judge us for every failing, wrong thought, wrong attitude, wrong deed, sin of omission, sin of commission. Yes, we seek to please him with all our hearts. Yes, where we fall short, we ask for his mercy and grace and forgiveness. But without a doubt, we live by grace, and we are to show grace and mercy to others. I'll go to the phones in a moment, 866-348-7884. And remember, tomorrow I'll be interviewing Walt Heyer, a man who was convinced that he was a woman, married with children, successful career, convinced that he was a woman, underwent hormone therapy, sex change, surgery, years more of suffering, only to realize that, in fact, he was not a woman. He's a man. Wrote an amazing book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide. We'll tell you how you can get that book in a moment, but he'll be on the air with me tomorrow. If you know anyone struggling in these areas, if you know any parents with kids who are struggling with gender identity issues, please have them tune in. Okay, the first reason that we are to bless those who curse us is that this is the way of a Jesus revolutionary. This is the way of a Jesus follower, emulating the example of our Father. The Sermon on the Mount is a counterculture kingdom manifesto where Jesus calls us to live by different principles than the world and religious establishment live by. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave this explicit command. Oh, may I repeat that word? Command. He said, but I can't. Oh, but you're commanded to. But I can't. Oh, you're commanded to, which means you say, Lord, I want to obey, but I need your help. But we never justify disobeying. We never justify disobeying a command because it's too hard for us. Instead, we say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I can't do this in my strength. Help me. As opposed to, well, it's just too hard, so I won't. Jesus taught this. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This was not explicitly from Torah, but was taught in certain Jewish circles in the day. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When we do this, friends, we're emulating, we're imitating God himself, who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5:45. This is part of our calling to be perfect, to be wholehearted servants of the Lord as our Heavenly Father is perfect. This is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the fifth chapter. Love your enemies. You say, I don't know how to do that. I'm so angry to these people that hurt my family. I'm so angry towards that former employer who wronged me and got my job and it's hurt my family financially. I'm so upset with that pastor that was controlling and caused a split and it destroyed my husband's ministry. I'm so upset. I'm so upset with these people who've been persecuting our family for the faith. And they've caused one of my family members to go to prison for the faith. I'm so angry. That's natural. It's understandable. And God does not want you to become a robot and just, yes, no, yes, no. He wants to supernaturally renew your heart so that you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you. I'm convinced that's how Saul of Tarsus came to faith. I'm convinced that's how the Apostle Paul came to faith, because the early believers, as he was the chief persecutor, they must have done what Jesus said. Look, didn't Stephen say, don't hold this sin against those that are killing me right now? Don't hold this sin against them. Didn't Saul see that? Didn't that pierce his heart? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I want to talk to you, get your calls in the next half hour. Those that will be leaving me, remember to catch the entire broadcast on my website later today, AskDrBrown.org. Click on Latest Audio. The shows are archived. You can also subscribe by podcast, and it is free to do so. But we need your help, and I want to thank you for your help, for your gift of any size. So everybody join in. Your gift of any size to our radio broadcast and the outreach we do and being your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, I want to send you as my gift Walt Heyer's book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide. My guest tomorrow, you'll hear his story. You're going to want to read this book from someone who had sex change surgery and realized it was a terrible error and went back to living as the man that God created him to be. You can do this by phone only, so call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be here with you on this Tuesday as we focus on teaching theology, practical living in the Lord. And we're talking about our calling to bless those who curse us, our calling to overcome evil with good. And we need to recognize that the revolution that we talk about, you see what's happening in politics, and you're probably upset. Whatever side you're on, you're upset. You look at what's happening in society at large, and whatever side you're on of issues, you're probably upset about something. You look about things happening around the world, and you're probably upset about something. And it's good to be burdened, it's good to be grieved, but we often respond in fleshly ways. We often respond in earthly, fleshly ways as opposed to responding with grace, responding with love, responding with compassion, responding with patience. But that's the Jesus way to change the world. So we bless those who curse us because, first, it's the way of a Jesus revolutionary, emulating the example of our Father, who causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good. Hey, there was a gay pride event in our city over the weekend, and it was a beautiful day. Our family went on vacation the week before. It was supposed to be thunder showers where we were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, showers, thunder showers most days, and the weather was great. When it rained a little here and there, it didn't affect any of our plans. So our vacation had beautiful weather, and the gay pride event had beautiful weather. That's not the way we would do it, is it? 866-348-7884. Look, I'll be totally candid. When there was an atheist rally in D.C., I thought to myself, you know, atheist rally last year, I thought to myself, well, what if it's a beautiful, glorious, sunny day? They can't thank anybody for it. But it was overcast and drizzling, raining through the day, as I recall. But then, of course, that's not a sign to them. What if there had been lightning? Come on, I probably would have liked to see that. No, nobody hurt. But as they go to stand and say there is no God, that suddenly lightning comes and just splits the platform. And when they step back, they see that carved into the concrete under the platform are the words, "There is a God." Oh, that would have been cool. And maybe so much bad weather that it rained out the event. But come on. That's not the nature of God, to just withhold natural grace, common grace as it's called, from sinners. And if God did that, the world would cease to exist overnight. He is extraordinarily kind and patient, as much as he is a righteous judge, as much as he does involve himself in the world, and as much as there will be a final day of accounting, which will be absolutely terrifying to hundreds of millions or billions of people. He is at the same time extraordinarily long-suffering, compassionate, merciful, and kind. So, reason number two, when we come back, I want to go straight to the calls. Reason number two, God demonstrates extraordinary long-suffering towards those who walk in ignorance and unbelief. Look, a few years back, there was this internet sensation of people recording videos of themselves saying, "I blaspheme the Spirit, I blaspheme the Spirit," and things like that. And as I watched the clips, I thought, you know, a few years from now, we're going to hear some of these people sharing their testimonies and saying, "Boy, I didn't know what I was saying. I was so blind." Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. For that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." How merciful was God towards you? That's how you need to be towards others.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Ah, what does it mean to walk in love? What is it to have a loving witness? Here were two people said they were Christians at the gay pride event with very different methods of showing love. If I show love and that love is divorced from truth, is it really love? 866-34-TRUTH. And by the way, I'm not the one saying what's the right approach and the wrong approach to everything. I am saying there are clear scriptural principles on which we stand. Programming note, all of our friends in Miami, remember, starting next week, we will be coming your way at 11 in the morning instead of at 2 in the afternoon. Same wonderful station in Miami. And then as there's demand and opportunity to do it, we will have some special broadcasts just for our Miami listening audience at 11 to 12. We'll have some special broadcasts. We'll be announcing that, so stay tuned. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones as we're talking about blessing those who curse us. You can read that article by just going to AskDrBrown.org, clicking on the latest article. You'll just see it a few down. If you scroll down, you'll also see the latest article. It's a sin, but I'm not against it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in White Plains, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Real quick, I don't want to babble, but you really just kind of spoke to my heart. There are three points, and I'll make them real quick. When I was first got saved, and the very first time someone was ever able to, I guess, prove to me the Bible was real, was when they led me to being baptized with the Holy Spirit. They read it to me out of Acts, asked me did I believe it, did I receive it, and then it happened. It was like, oh my God, this is real. This first time, okay, God, you're real. And so I've seen some things, experienced some things, but on listening to the radio show, I'd heard about the strange spirit, the John McCarthy conference, and it didn't sit right with my spirit. It just didn't sit right with me. And it kind of made me angry. And I stopped listening to him. And then what you said, if you're looking at society, you're looking at the culture, you got atheists, you got homosexuality, that made me angry, you know. And then looking at the Christian network that I'm in, I'm saying, okay, we got to do something. We got to stand up for God. We got to, you know, say the truth. And then I'm getting a lot of political correctness. Well, we don't want to do that because that'll make people angry. We don't want to do this. And so that's what kind of led me to finding you, your radio station and your website. As a Christian, you said it, I was angry. And so it kind of forced me to just, you know what, God, I don't know what to do, but there's something inside me that's saying, you know. And so instead of being angry, bless, love, pray for, and show them love, show people love, because that's what they need to see. People need to see the love of God. And for yourself to study and to just get on your face and get humble before the Lord, and just say, just use me. But, you know, I don't know if any of that makes sense. I'm babbling, but I just wanted to thank
you. Oh, no, it's not babbling at all. And, John, I appreciate the kind words. Look, we can speak out against wrong. If we lived in the days of slavery, we should be fighting against slavery. We live in the days of abortion. We should be fighting against that. We live in the days of redefining marriage and family. We should be fighting against that. But we fight with a Jesus method. We don't fight with worldly method. We don't fight with hostility and fleshly anger, because all that does is it continues the vicious cycle. You know, it's written in Proverbs 15:1 that a harsh word stirs up strife, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. And, you know, we've all had it happen. I get in your face with no good cause. That gets you mad. You get in my face, and now we're screaming at each other. Yes. As opposed to I get in your face and you say, have I done something to offend you? And suddenly, now the conviction's on me, and now God's dealing with me, and your own life is clean. So that's the key thing. There are a lot of grievous things that happen, but our attitude should come not out of a frustrated reaction, but out of communion with the Lord and a burden from the Lord. And then we won't be stopped by the flesh. James, Jacob, the first chapter tells us that the wrath of man doesn't accomplish God's righteous will. But then we can be in his presence and get a tremendous burden and have deep conviction, but it's not going to be mingled with our fleshly reaction. So not babbling at all, sir. What you say makes plenty of sense.
Well, again, just thank you for having the courage to be the man of God. I'm going to come alongside in the line of fire.
Awesome. Well, John, that means so much to me. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. 866-348-7884. Yes, by God's grace, we are seeking to speak for you. In other words, I have a platform right now on the radio. I have a platform through writing. I have a platform through TV. And there were times in my life I didn't have some of those platforms or all of those platforms. I have them. I'm jealous to glorify God with them as one of many who has these platforms. And I want to do it in a way that sets an example and hopefully articulates some of the burden of your heart, some of the things that are in your heart that you want to express. If I can express them, you can say, yes, praise God, because I have an outlet to do it. And if I did it in a way that didn't glorify the Lord or that wasn't based on scriptural truth or that was based on a poor fleshly example, that just makes it harder for everyone. So in fact, we had a prayer meeting with our ministry team right before the broadcast today. And one thing we were praying for is that we would walk worthy of the Lord and walk worthy of the responsibilities and open doors he has given us. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tori in Miami. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Dr. Brown, hello. Sorry to veer off the topic a little, but I want to let you know, sir, that you've impacted my life greatly, and I'm sure along with many, many people, you've given me an incredible hunger, Dr. Brown, talking about Leonard Ravenhill, Andrew Bonner, David Brainerd, so many people that men and women have God have used. And I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Brown. You've impacted me, man, and have an incredible fire for the Lord. Not perfect, but I have a burden, man, and I'm ready to die for him and live for him, for his glory. Thank you, sir.
Well, Tari, thank you so much for those kind words. And you mentioned some men of God who were extraordinary examples that provoke me to this day to live a more Christ-like life and be more devoted to him. So may we all walk it out. Tori, thank you so much for your very kind words.
You,
I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. You too.
All right, 866-348-7884. Before I go back to the phones, let me say this to each of you. You probably have more influence than you realize. You probably have more people watching you than you realize. I know there might be some exceptions, but probably you have more influence than you realize, be it as a parent, be it as an employee, be it as a boss, be it as a pastor, be it as a young person in your school, be it as someone on social media, be it as a public figure, be it as a private figure. You probably have more eyes on you than you realize. You probably have more people looking at you than you realize. 866-348-7884. Oh, this is delightful. All right. One of the local gay activists that I've reached out to in the past and this gives me an opportunity to bless back. He actually wrote articles that I was going to launch a war against homosexuals to the death and posted a picture of me in a local gay newspaper of my head on the body of a Muslim terrorist with an AK-47. Let's just see here. What did he post? Just learned last night of the new underhanded and deceitful tactics used by Charlotte anti-gay leader Dr. Michael Brown at this past weekend's Charlotte Pride. He should be ashamed. More on that later. And I think it's pretty sad he's turning Charlotte Pride into a full 3-day topic on his 2-hour radio show yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This guy is dangerous, and his laser focus on LGBT people is perhaps bordering upon insane fixation. You know, when I reached out to Matt, we had lunch. His name is Matt Comer. Let's pray for him. We had lunch together. And aside from the falsehoods of the post there, and nothing deceitful, when we did our surveys, we told everyone to let him know you're students from Fire School of Ministry, and you're there to pray for people as well. That was part of the survey. And there's nothing hidden or deceitful about that whatsoever. But I really reached out to Matt with tears streaming down my cheeks. And I told him, I just want you to know the love of God. As a result of which he concluded that I was crazy, because he could not reconcile the fact that I could be clear thinking and yet take the stands I took and yet be a person of love. Yeah, let's pray for Matt for the grace of God to flood his soul with regenerate repentance to life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know something that's utterly remarkable? In a whole broadcast where we talk about blessing those who curse us, when we talk about the Jesus way to live is not with hatred, violence, anger, that the Jesus way is to put down your sword and take up your cross, to overcome evil with good, to overcome hatred with love. When that's the whole theme of this, it's quite amazing that someone can take that. I was just sent a note of someone responding and doing this, that someone could take that and turn it around into anger or hatred or violence. That's really sad to see. But in any case, since I just got a note, Matt, you're apparently listening to the broadcast. Matt Comer, we've interacted publicly before, and you're a public figure as well. That's why I mentioned my name. Call in. Come on, buddy. Let's have a talk. I've had you on the air with me previously. We have 100% debunked your very dangerous, defamatory claims that we are trying to raise up people to engage in violent warfare against homosexual community. When people say they're willing to die for the Lord, Matt, are you unaware that Christians are being butchered around the world right now? Are you unaware that they're being butchered in Syria, that they're being butchered in Egypt, that they're being butchered in Iraq, that they're being butchered in North Nigeria? Are you unaware of that? Are you unaware that Christians are being martyred? Peace-loving Christians are being martyred in India. Friends of ours, co-workers of ours, have lost friends of theirs to martyrdom. Someone says, I'm willing to die for the Lord. That's what they're talking about. If someone says, you have to change, you cannot follow Jesus or you will die, as is happening to Christians in Pakistan, deny Jesus, become Muslims or die, and they say, we will not. And Jesus tells us to be faithful to the death. You are now going to take that and turn that into a call for violence? That is really ugly, destructive thinking. And if you convey that to others, it's not just deceit, it's bearing false witness and breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And I say this with no malice. I say it with pain. 866-348-7884. One other thing. My alleged, quote, insane focus, bordering on insane fixation on gay and lesbian issues. All right, Matt, how long did you and your team work on coordinating gay pride event in the city this past weekend? You were expecting 55,000 people. I read somewhere those were your estimates, and I don't know if you hit that goal or went over that goal. I have no idea. But obviously it took a lot of planning, work on it, months, I imagine, with a committee, getting guests in, booths, renting them out, different things like that, logistics on the ground, right? Parade, all that. Let's see. We came up with the idea of doing a survey. Are you open-minded to talk with people, to find a place of dialogue, and then to offer to pray? We came up with that about 3 days or 4 days before the event, and we got students from our school of ministry, about 40 or so involved, and went out with surveys. Everyone understood clearly, don't be disruptive in any way. Make clear who you are. and that you're followers of Jesus. You go to Fire School of Ministry if they ask, and you're there to pray for anyone who has needs. And survey is a good icebreaker, and also give us an understanding where people are coming from. So it's all, so this becomes this horrific invasion. 40 people with 50 or 10 or 20,000, however many were there, 5,000 at any given time. I don't know. Matt, perhaps just our presence there is another reminder that you need the Lord. Perhaps our presence is just another reminder, even without any identifiable shirts or things like that, we've been criticized for that. Hey, we didn't make anyone feel uncomfortable except if our light was shining in darkness, if that made anyone uncomfortable. And there with nothing but love and nothing but the message of Jesus, the fact that you're that upset about it indicates to me that there's still hope for you, buddy. So we'll keep praying for you. Would you put Matt Comer on your prayer list? All right, C-O-M-E-R. Pray that God would so work in his life that he would have a glorious, born-again, life-transforming experience. All right, let me try to grab one more call. David in Falls Church, Virginia, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You bet.
First of all, there's only one person who's worthy to open the scrolls. Only one who's able to judge. And it isn't me, and it isn't you. We know who it is. But all throughout my ministry, the biggest impact I've ever had on somebody, it wasn't laying on hands, seeing somebody healed their feet of gangrene, or somebody who's had 2 weeks to live get healed from blood poisoning. You know, it was when I was downtown handing out food to the homeless in D.C., and a man came up to me, and he asked me if I had any more socks, and I had given out my last pair of socks, and I took my boots off, and I gave him the socks off my feet, and I gave them to him. And I went back a year later, I saw him again, and he came up to me, and he said, "You're the man who gave me the socks off his feet, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he goes, and he turned around to all these other homeless people, and he says, "This man knows God. The other people who come here and feed us every once in a while, I don't know if they know him or not." He goes, "But this man knows God. Listen to him. Take a Bible from him." And that had the biggest impact. And it wasn't because I was demonstrating the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's because I was doing what Jesus would have done, what he commanded us to do. You know what? I can go home and put on another pair of socks.
Yeah,
but
David.
Anyway,
what a great testimony, and what a great example of just living the gospel out. And look, it is a demonstration of love. And the thing that I'm sure about it is that you didn't do it to put on a show. You did it because you cared, and people feel that. Right, the man needed socks, exactly. And by the way, I'm out of time here, but I wanted to get your call before we're done. Yeah, the man needed socks, and you had socks, and you shared them. Why? Because you're a follower of Jesus, and they could see that it was genuine. David, thanks so much for sharing it. That articulates in one short story so much of what I'm talking about today. All right, friends, remember, your gift of any size to help with the work that we're doing on radio, Jewish outreach on TV, internet, upcoming ministry trips that we have overseas, places like China and India. You help us. You stand with us. You help us as we support our workers around the world, many of whom are engaged in extraordinary sacrificial acts of service around the world, helping poor and needy. You're standing with us as we do all of those things. And my thank you gift for your gift of any size, Walt Heyer's book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide. Such an important, eye-opening book. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in the flesh, in the natural, it's impossible. But with Jesus, we can overcome evil with good. Jesus calls us to bless those who curse us. Jesus calls us to forgive our enemies. Is it possible?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you are listening to the right broadcast at the right time. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today on this Tuesday on the Line of Fire. Tuesday, our emphasis is on teaching, theology, practical living, and we're talking about overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, following the Jesus method of life and ministry. Rather than destroying those who hated him, he died for them. Rather than cursing the whole world with eternal damnation, he came into the world to offer us salvation, to avoid that damnation. 866-348-7884. I also want to talk briefly to you about the lack of moral clarity in so much of this younger generation, often the inability to think through moral issues because, I want to be loving, I want to be kind, but here, if you knew that your spouse's diet was killing them, we were just talking last night with a friend, and Nancy was talking about certain dieting, and not dieting, just lifestyle of eating certain ways, and the friend said, yeah, he was borderline diabetic, and when he started eating this, what's called nutritarian way, following Dr. Joel Fuhrman's Eat to Live philosophy, when he started doing this, that all of the diabetic issues disappeared. And Nancy mentioned, yeah, Dr. Fuhrman has a new book, The End of Diabetes, where just basically eating with a totally healthy diet can completely cause it to reverse and disappear. Well, let's say you knew that your spouse was eating a diet that was going to get them into an early grave, and they did not want to get into an early grave. They wanted to live. Well, wouldn't it be love to say you need to change your diet? Wouldn't it be love to say it may be a little difficult for you to make these changes, but I want to help you make them, as opposed to, hey, I just want to support my spouse in whatever decision they make? How is that love if the decision they're making is destructive and they don't want to destroy themselves? 866-348-7884. So we'll talk about that as well, but I want to focus on five reasons to bless those who curse you and to think through the method of Jesus. So number one, this is the way of a Jesus revolutionary, emulating the example of our Father. I've used the words revolution, Jesus revolution, for years, quite explicitly, in detail, always with explanation, saying we're talking about overcoming evil with good. We're talking about overcoming hatred with love. We're talking about the Jesus method, which is to put down your sword and take up your cross. So it is Jesus who said, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is a command from Jesus speaking with divine authority. When we do this, friends, we're acting like God himself, who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is part of our calling to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Number two, God demonstrates extraordinary long-suffering towards those who walk in ignorance and unbelief. I think of how he put up with me in my days of hostility and pride and rebellion and heavy drug use, and how his mercy transformed me. Friends, that's the mercy working among the unsaved to this day. Oh, there is judgment, there is discipline. But God does not give us what we deserve all the time. Instead, he sends his son to redeem us. Back with your calls and a whole lot more. Stay with us.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No judgment.
We don't judge anybody.
Yeah, no judgment.
No hatred.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
Don't judge. Never judge. No. When Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged, what he's saying plainly in context, in light of his other sayings, is don't be judgmental. What he was saying was don't judge hypocritically. What he was saying was don't judge superficially. But he also says, does he not? John 7:24, don't judge by outward appearance, but make righteous judgment. So what we do is we say certain things are right and certain things are wrong. We don't know the motivation of the heart. One thing that our folks found as they walked around and talked to folks at the Gay Pride event, they found a lot of people very open. They did not run in any of the conversations I heard of so far. They didn't run into some militant anger. They found a lot of people that were hurting also. Of course, you're going to have that when you have any gathering of people, but a lot of people hurting and wanting prayer and some struggling in areas of life. And we were glad to be able to be there and share the good news of Jesus and pray for those that wanted prayer for anything. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. To read my latest article, it's a sin, but I'm not against it. These were two young ladies who identified as straight, church-going Christians there to support those at Gay Pride. One of them quoted exactly, it's a sin, but I'm not against it. Read my article about that. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article to actually watch the video interview. And they knew they were being videoed. We didn't do secret recording. So any audio clips you hear, someone was there with an audio recording, what was happening, dialogue, discussion, in public view, or they were on a video camera in public view, so there's nothing that was done in a stealth way. In fact, we told the students from the ministry school going out, you're there to do the survey, are you open-minded, to look for an icebreaker, to dialogue with people about the gospel. These are commonly used in many settings, and to make clear who you are. If anyone asks you, you're there from Fire School of Ministry. We made very clear, groups of two, we don't want anyone to feel intimidated. We don't want anyone to feel surrounded. If there's a third person, stand back so no one feels intimidated. We're going to be honoring to the Lord and work within the parameters of what's expected in an event like that and the way we would want others, if we were having an event, the way we would want them to behave in our midst. Of course, they'd always be welcome. In fact, when folks came to protest our church service last year, we asked them to please come in large number, not in small number, to please come in large number. Unfortunately, 10 came, but we greeted them. We had folks outside greeting them with refreshments and cookies and water, and we invited them to come into the service and join us. They declined. And I actually called the next day to apologize for the protest and say that we didn't deserve the protest. And I said, hey, look, you had your convictions. That's fine. But let's have a meal. Let's talk. Because we're neighbors in the same city, how are we going to live side by side? Those remain the deeper and greater issues. But it's our joy to be a presence in the event and to share the gospel there as much as we have opportunity to do so. And know that there are people that you got family members and others praying for them that really need the Lord. And now that you have more of a presence of so-called gay Christians, people saying you can follow Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time, all the more is it important that we're there as a presence. Before I go to the phones, one more Jesus principle, one more New Testament principle in terms of how we live. And this is the third in my list of five reasons to bless those who curse you. When we bless, a blessing is returned to us. When we bless, a blessing is returned to us. In many, many ways, we reap what we sow. And that's one of the reasons Peter gave this exhortation to his readers. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. So what do you want to inherit? What do you want to receive? Do you want to receive blessing or cursing? Then that's what you should speak to others. So when people post some hateful, ugly remarks like this guy last week, you should get brain cancer, you're blanking this and blanking of that. My response was to write back to him and say, may God's grace and truth be yours. I look at him, if either speaking with knowledge and all the more do I pity him, or speaking in ignorance, in which case I pity him. But either way, my heart goes out to him, not to see retaliation, but to see mercy come his way. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Valencia in Lodi, New Jersey. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is about the sword. Jesus had said in Luke 22:36, but now he that has a purse, he says, let him that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And in verse 51, where, of course, just a second before that, 36 and 38.
I have it in front of me if you want me to read it.
Wait a second. And then, of course, when the they came against him, you know, to take him, to arrest him, in 38, I think it is.
Let me read it just for the sake of time here. His disciples here, he said to them, now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough. He replied.
Yeah.
Now, my friend Rabbi Shmuley argued that with these two swords and 11 men, Jesus was planning on leading an armed revolt against Rome. And that he and the 11 disciples with two swords would go up to the temple, and as the people saw them fighting, that they would all stand with them, and now thousands would join them and overthrow Rome. It's a complete and total fiction. I deal with it in depth in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, in a chapter called How Jesus Got Hijacked by a Well-Meaning Rabbi. Let's notice what happens when the high priest and the crowd come to arrest Jesus. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 22. So same chapter, a few verses later. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ears. One of my friends, Professor Craig Keener, said many people associated messiahs with popular revolt and the overthrow of the Gentile kingdoms that oppressed Israel. A messiah who would heal his attackers was not part of anyone's messianic picture. And then Jesus says this to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who would come for him, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day, but this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns. So he's saying, you're completely misunderstanding me. I'm not here to lead some earthly revolution. As one paraphrase says, what is this jumping me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? And he explicitly tells Peter, put your sword back in its sheath, because all those who live by the sword will die by the sword. So what's happening there? Why is he mentioning the swords? Some think he was just talking about self-defense and saying it's going to get very difficult in the coming days and you're going to need this. I respect that interpretation, but I don't believe it's accurate. And many top biblical scholars, New Testament scholars, understand that what Jesus was doing there was ironic and saying, okay, look, they think I'm some dangerous revolutionary. They think I'm out to physically overthrow the government. And it says in Isaiah 53 that I'm going to be numbered among the transgressors. So we've got to look like we're actually a bunch of transgressors. And they said, we have two swords. And he said, okay, no, enough. I don't mean it literally. That's the point. When he says enough means, in other words, you don't get it. I'm being ironic. I'm saying we need to look like a bunch of sinners and rebels now. That's what they're expecting. Oh, Lord, we have two swords. No. I'm talking figuratively. I don't mean it literally. You say, well, aren't you stretching things? No, not at all, because every other statement from Jesus throughout the Gospels is consistently the same. That's why he says in John the 18th chapter that if he was fighting an earthly war, that his servants would be there to defend him. If he was fighting an earthly war, his servants would be there to fight for him. But tell you what, I'm looking at a break right here. What I'd like to do is send you a free copy of my debate with Rabbi Shmuley on the subject, The Real Kosher Jesus in New York City. I want to send you a copy of this where we debate these issues. He tries to present Jesus as a violent revolutionary. We demonstrate the Jesus of the Scriptures said, put down your sword, take up the cross. So stay right there, Valencia. Dwight will get your info and we'll send that DVD out to you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Hey, I know we just lost Marie, who had a testimony of coming out of homosexuality. If you're able to get back to a phone, we always welcome testimonies like that of transformed lives. So we will try to get to you if you are able to get back to us. 866-348-7884. Just want you to hear a couple of quick clips, audio clips here, as we're talking about the moral malaise on this generation, often the inability to distinguish between right and wrong, or how to merge together biblical righteousness with biblical love. People seem to think it's one or the other. 866-34-TRUTH. Listen to this clip about the subject of judgment.
No judgment. Because we don't judge anybody.
Yeah, no judgment.
We don't believe in
judgment.
That's what this world is all about, is judging people.
It's all about, you don't judge. This is further conversation, gay pride related. And then, well, what about, we asked our first question, do you agree with the statement, I have the right to marry the one I love? That's a common mantra in gay activist circles. We have the right to marry the one we love. And the majority of people, well, it was basically 100-1 or 2 that said yes to that statement. And the majority of those that said yes, it's yes with exceptions. So you can't just say universally have the right to marry the one I love. But a considerable minority said no exceptions. Listen to what one young man said.
I don't agree with incest and things like that, but whatever floats your boat.
So I don't agree with siblings. We're talking about consensual adult relationship between two brothers or brother or sister or father or daughter, whatever. Doesn't agree with it, but whatever floats your boat. For many, that's how they determine morality today. And getting mad won't help. What we need to do is pray for righteousness and truth and clarity to rise up among God's people, for spokesmen and spokeswomen to speak out with clarity about these issues. And then we can educate the world. Then we can be, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, the conscience of society, in the words of Jesus, the salt and the light. But as Jesus said in Matthew 6 in a different context, if the light within us is darkness, how great is the darkness? So we have to stand for righteousness and live it out in our families, in our marriages, in our homes. And that empowers us then to speak it to the world by word and by deed. 866-34-TRUTH. Gary, I don't have your location. Gary, where are you calling from, sir?
From Salisbury.
All right. Hey, Dwight, we missed that one there. Okay, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, I just want to speak in answer to the probably most often quoted or misquoted verse in Scripture is Matthew 7:1, as you were referring to, judge not, lest you be judged. And I've had that come up so many times. And mm-hmm. I think part of the answer is in, if you go back into the context, as you were saying in Matthew 6, if we're going to take Matthew 7:1 as an absolute statement never to make any judgment, then we have to take the other statements that Jesus made in Matthew 6 about take no thought for the morrow. You're not allowed to plan ahead one day for the next. You're not allowed to think about what you're going to wear the next day. You're not to think about what you're going to eat the next day. You couldn't plan a menu. You sure couldn't go shopping for groceries for the week. These are simply principles that simply mean don't be obsessed with those things to the point of worrying.
It's a better translation. There would be don't be anxious about tomorrow. But you know, Gary, your point about the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, he says, "How can you take the speck out of your brother's eye when there's a log in your eye?" But then he says this: if we do take the log out of our eye, then we can take the speck out of our brother's eyes. In other words, we should be able to take the speck out, and we should be able to recognize that there is a speck. But if we're doing it hypocritically, if we're blasting someone for wasting money, taking their family to go see a G-rated movie, and man, that's $75 you wasted, whereas we just wasted $7,500 on some stupid investment that collapsed in a day. Then how can we do the one without the other? But ideally, we should be able to help the person. So we're called to make righteous judgments, but not to make hypocritical judgments.
Certainly, just the being able to refer the terms as a beam or a moat means that you have to be discerning enough to understand what is a beam or a moat. And then in the following verses, don't give that which is holy unto dogs or cast your pearls before swine, requires discernment.
Exactly.
Both what is holy and what is precious and what would be swine or dogs.
Exactly.
He's simply talking about being discerning without being, as we say, judgmental. Having an ugly spirit about it.
Yes, sir. Right on all points, Gary. Absolutely so. And it is a little frustrating or maddening when the verse is constantly quoted. And it's normally quoted by people who feel free to make judgments about you, but you can't make a judgment about them. You know, one of my friends when someone says, you know, well, Jesus said, don't judge, why are you judging me? He says, well, why are you judging me for judging you? You see the folly of it. And I've said to him, okay, oh, so now I get it. I got it. So here's a man beating his child to death because he is out of control. But I don't want to judge. And here's a man selling a young boy into human trafficking and sex trafficking. But I don't want to judge. No, obviously, that's not what he's saying. You're absolutely right, sir. Don't be judgmental. Don't judge hypocritically. Don't judge superficially, but judge and discern righteously. Thank you for the call, Gary. We come back. I want to respond to someone who says he can't bless those who curse him. He can't. Can't do it. I want to respond to that and give you some more of the principles of Jesus. Friends, tomorrow, be sure to join me as I speak with Walt Heyer, a man with an extraordinary testimony. A man who was married with kids and successful in business and career and became convinced that he was actually a woman in a man's body, lived with terrible torment, had sex change surgery, and then after years of further torment realized, no, he's a man and he has mental and emotional issues, and was able to deal with those and has went back to living as a man. And quite a story. He's going to be my guest. You can get his book. It's an amazing book that deals with all the major issues about gender identity and confusion that we're getting confronted with constantly on the media and in our society and even in some of your homes. It's called Gender Lies and Suicide. It's really practical and thorough and written with grace. It's yours for your gift of support of any size. So thanks for standing with us and the work that we're doing on radio and TV and literally by God's grace around the world. We want to send this to you as our thank you for your gift of any size. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Back with much more and your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What's the example that Jesus set? Remember when he washed his disciples' feet, said, I'm not just doing this for you, but I'm doing this to set an example that I, whom you call Master and Lord, or I'm washing your feet. You should wash one another's feet. You should serve one another. Those who are greatest should be servants of all. And what example did Jesus give when he was reviled, when he was mocked on the cross? He could have called 10,000 angels. Right then, his Father would have dispatched them. He could have cursed his enemies, and they would have dropped dead on the spot. Instead, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He offers mercy, and he even forgives the thief on the cross and welcomes him into the family. 866-348-7884. Talking about the Jesus calling to bless those who curse us. And I've been going through this the last hour and a half. First point I made is this is the way of a Jesus revolutionary, emulating the example of our Father. So from the Sermon on the Mount, to bless those who curse us, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's what people heard in that day. He said, no, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. He said, your heavenly Father causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's the model we're to follow. Number two, God demonstrates extraordinary long-suffering towards those who walk in ignorance and unbelief. That's what Paul says of himself, that God had mercy on him. Jesus had mercy on him as a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. He said, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. God is very patient with people in their ignorance and unbelief, far more than we would be if we had God's power and ability to dispatch judgment. Number three, when we bless, a blessing is returned to us. When we bless, a blessing is returned to us. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Number four, and this is where we stopped. Number four, words of grace and patience produce more fruit than words of anger and frustration. Let me repeat that. Words of grace and patience produce more fruit than words of anger and frustration. Yeah, there are times when it's right to correct and rebuke, but we always do it in love. Ephesians 4:15. We always do it in patience. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. We always remember Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And some months back, as I was writing some pro-life articles, there was one woman who was posting constantly. Everyone in the comments section that was standing up for the life of the unborn, she was posting against it. She was so strongly a woman's right to choose. And you know, she had some compassionate concerns. What about all these unwanted babies in third world nations? They're just put on the streets and they're going to die and it's better to abort them. But the bottom line is, you don't kill the baby in the womb. And I responded to her forcefully, but not angrily. Sometime after that, she posts on my public Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, I want to apologize for writing crazy comments about killing babies about your article. I was trying to live without God and his principles in my life. I thought about the happiest time of my life. That was when I was going to church and living for God. Please pray for me. Thank you. Who knew that was going on in her life? Who knew the misery in her own life? Words of grace and patience produce more good fruit than words of anger and frustration. I wish I would have been even more gracious in seeing past her anger and her hostility and her militant pro-choice position and had even more discernment. And then lastly, number five, when we bless those who curse us, we break the cycle of anger and hatred. Paul in Romans 12 quotes Proverbs 25, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll keep burning coals on his head, which probably means bring him to repentance and contrition. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But I can't. I won't. Let's address that.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. We've been focusing on the Jesus calling to bless those who curse us, to overcome evil with good, to overcome hatred with love. Yeah, people can misrepresent our words, but they're going to have to try really hard to do it. They're going to have to work really hard to do it because our words are careful and clear. 866-34-TRUTH. I just want to play a quick clip, and then I want to read something that someone wrote, a gentleman who identified himself as Faith Defender, someone who responded to my article, Five Reasons to Bless Those Who Curse You. But before I read this response, someone's saying, hey, I'd like to, but I can't, and I won't. I just want you to hear this clip. We'll pursue this maybe more another day. But it's about Jesus, Republicans, and the Bible. It's the host of the Young Turks TV show. And he's talking about Jesus and Republican presidential candidates. I just want you to know what's out there. And certain things he says that are accurate about Jesus and others completely inaccurate. But this idea that actually Jesus is very much against conservative moral values that Republicans and others would associate with, that he's very different. And of course, the last thing I'm doing is putting Jesus in either Republican or Democratic shoes, by the way. But you're probably going to get provoked and want to call in on this, which is fine. But I just want to play it for you.
Peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary who hung around with lepers, hookers, and criminals, who never spoke English, was not an American citizen, a man who was anti-capitalism, anti-wealth, anti-public prayer, yes, he was, Matthew 6:5, anti-death penalty, but never once remotely anti-gay, didn't mention abortion, didn't mention premarital sex, a man who never justified torture, who never called the poor lazy, who never asked a leper for a copay, who never fought for tax cuts for the wealthiest Nazarene, and was a long-haired, brown-skinned, that's in Revelations, homeless Middle Eastern Jew. Of course, that's only if you believe what's actually in the Bible.
Yeah, you know, aside from some of the ridiculous things, he was against public prayer. No, he was against public hypocritical displays. He went to the synagogue and prayed with people. He was a Jew, but he urged people to go and do their acts of piety in private. They never mentioned sexual immorality. So, premarital sex, well, of course he does. He refers to it as explicitly, for example, Matthew 15 and Mark 7, as sins that make us unclean. In fact, every sexual act outside of wedlock, two people having sex that were not married, whether they were two men, two women, whether it was people that were not yet married, those were under the category of porneia. And then if you're married and had sex outside of wedlock, that would be the category of adultery. Those are explicitly mentioned by Jesus. Oh, it didn't mention abortion, but yeah, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, better for you than a millstone was hung around your neck and you're thrown into the sea. And how in heaven, the angels always have their eyes on the little ones, but not the little ones in the womb, of course. And the fact that in the Gospels that John the Immerser leaps in his mother's womb when Mary comes in, pregnant with Jesus, oh, that doesn't tell us anything about abortion. But to the extent he describes Jesus as a peaceful revolutionary, oh, that he was. That he was. He did not fight with human weapons, and he was a radical revolutionary. So before I go to the phones, let me read this comment. This was posted in response to my article, Five Reasons to Bless Those Who Curse You. To read it, just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article, and you'll see it a few articles down. He calls himself Faith Defender, and he says this, fine words to live by, really, and I do want to, but cannot. God forgive me. I try to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, but I am not Jesus. I am a man. I am a man, and I will not be trodden underfoot, and I will not succor, meaning help or appeal to those who oppress me, for such creeplings always mistake kindness for weakness, this before they strike. No, I am a terror to my enemies and will stand against them, for there is no honor in dying at the hands of filth. I have to go polish my sword now. May God be with you. Oh, I have real serious problems with this. Real serious problems. Do I have problems with him saying fine words to live by? I really do want to, but can't. God forgive me. I try to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, but I'm not Jesus. I'm a man. I have no problem with that. My problem is now he uses that as a rationalization to go sin. If Jesus says to a man, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart, well, it's about every heterosexual healthy man I know of has been guilty of that, sometimes can be guilty of that multiple times in a day if they're not living right or disciplined. That's hard. Well, then I'm just going to go out and lust. No, no. You say, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. That's what God's grace is for, not just to forgive us, but to empower us to live differently. I'm a man and I will not be trodden underfoot. Well, Jesus was, sir. That's the only reason you're saved. That's the only reason you can be saved, because he was trodden underfoot. And Paul was beheaded. And Peter was crucified upside down. And according to tradition, John was boiled in oil twice. And when he survived it, he was exiled to Patmos. That's how we overcome. Not by our anger and our ferocity. Not by our fighting terror with terror. Again, I'm not talking about military conflict. I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm not saying if a man breaks into your house and you're the head of your home, sir, and you say, oh, welcome to my home. My wife's down the hallway here. My kids are here. Go and kill them or rape them. No, that's insanity. If that man broke in through your window and you could jump on top of him and hold him down till police came, wonderful. Do it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are hostile, hateful towards us, people who persecute us for the faith. How do we respond? With love? With grace? It is the Jesus way. This way, where you refer to creeplings and filth, sir, outside of Jesus, that's you and that's me. Outside of Jesus, creeplings and filth, that describes you and that describes me. And it was as creeplings and filth that Jesus died for us. Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ, Messiah, died for us. And yeah, let them mistake kindness for weakness. That's fine. Let them do it. Because it's ultimately God who's going to turn the tables. And ultimately God who's going to set wrong things right. I am a terror to my enemies. Well, if you mean you're a terror to your enemies because you pray for them, you're a terror to your enemies because you speak the truth in love, that's fine. Then expose their false ideologies. If you mean that you're going to respond to their venom with your venom, sir, either you're not born again and you need to be born again, or as a born-again believer, you need to ask God for his supernatural grace and you need to repent of justifying sinful attitudes. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. JT in Decatur, Georgia, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good, good. Enjoying the program. Wow, a couple of things. First, in terms of us as a group of believers, it's difficult to get a clear message out when there are individuals, in particular here in the Atlanta area where I am, that are on radio claiming to be Christians, but they're in total support of homosexual activity and homosexual marriage, and using the reasoning that what you mentioned about judging and not really discerning, and they're not really discerning the difference between condemnation and discernment and mm-hmm. The other concepts that go with that. So it's very difficult. Actually, there's a young lady here that's on the radio that does that on a pretty. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody, is that noise? Okay. I'm outside. Okay. But yeah, so it's difficult to do that because when people are spreading that kind of confusion, or they just even refuse to address those issues, but it's yeah. even worse.
And JT, we have both extremes. We have the extreme that says the only way to address these issues is yelling and screaming.
Wrong.
And then We have the other extreme that says, well, because other people are yelling and screaming, I'm going to be silent. Mm-hmm. What we have to do is first ask God to change our hearts so that our hearts are full of love, our hearts are full of brokenness, our hearts are full of compassion. And then with broken, compassionate hearts, we then speak the truth, and we speak the truth without compromise because we know it's just like going to a doctor. You want that doctor to tell you the truth. You may not be happy with what the doctor has to say, but you want that doctor to tell you the truth rather than mislead you. So love compels us to speak the truth, but we do it in a manner, in a character that emulates Jesus. But it is a challenge, JT. You're absolutely right, because of extremes on different sides. What we have to do is be extremely like Jesus. Back with your call. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us so much on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. You know, one of the most important things you can do with those you differ with is get to know them. Get to know them face-to-face. Interact face-to-face. It's so important to do it, because often it removes the stereotypes and exaggerated pictures that we have. So there will still be conflicts and challenges. And sometimes when you really get to know someone, your convictions get even deeper. But often just the interpersonal interaction reminds us of the fact that these are fellow human beings for whom Jesus died. And this helps us then to bless those who curse us. Often social media, online, you're just dealing with a name, you're just dealing with a text, and you can't read and hear tone of voice a lot of the time, no matter what we try to convey, and misunderstanding can be rampant. All the more then do we need to listen carefully and respond prayerfully in impersonal media like social media. 866-34-TRUTH. Walter in Tampa. We lost Walter. All right. Let's go to Stephen in Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. My question is about where you're talking about anger and everything, or not anger, but fighting or what all. In the Bible, it talks about Joshua, and he was told to go into Jericho and destroy everything. And I guess Moses and the children of Israel, when they were supposed to go into the Promised Land, they were supposed to eradicate everything. My question was that wrong? And is he going to be held accountable for that? And for us to do that, is that ever possible now after Christ has come?
Right. This very good and important questions, and ones that come up, of course, all the time from those that struggle with aspects of judgment in the Old Testament. Let's first understand that these were one-time events, that these were events in judgment. It wasn't just God dispossessing the Canaanites. These were judgment events. That's one thing to remember. And we need to remember that based on Genesis 15, God said that they would have to wait about 400 years before they did this, until the iniquity of the Amorites had reached its full measure, meaning that they could not dispossess them earlier because they would not have sinned sufficiently to merit that. So think of waiting 400 years before the sin is at the level that it's at when judgment comes. So that was another factor. There could be some degree that some of the cities that were attacked were largely fortresses, and mainly these would have been military battles. But this was something that was extreme, that was done once, that was done by divine command, that we will not be called to do as followers of Jesus. He has set a different example for us. And even if we ever went into war, we would never go into war and kill civilians intentionally and kill children. You say, why was it done then? It was done then as the only way to preserve Israel as a nation, so that the Messiah could come through the people of Israel, and the world could be saved. Look at it, as ruthless as it may seem, but in Old Testament terms, like someone whose leg is gangrened. The only way to save the rest of that person's body, save their life, is to amputate that leg. So if there were Canaanites that remained, and to the extent they did remain, it almost brought about Israel's destruction, Israel would be guilty of intermarriage with them. Israel would be guilty of worshiping their gods. God would have ultimately had to judge and destroy Israel, in which case there is no way for the Messiah to come, because the Messiah had to come into a world that understood who God was, that understood the difference between the holy and profane, to be raised in a certain family environment. If he was raised in an idol-worshipping home in India, that would not have worked. And although he could have maintained personal purity himself, when he died for our sins and rose from the dead, there would have been no understanding of what this was about. So as ruthless and radical as it was a one-time thing in terms of the nation of Israel going in and doing this. Later on, there's judgment on Amalek, but that also goes back to a judgment that was requited because of evil deeds that were done. So they were obedient, Stephen? Joshua was obedient to divine command to do this. It was the will of God to do it then. It's not the will of God to do it now. There will be a future judgment, but that will be something God carries out, not us.
Well, I believe that it was right. I don't doubt that. My struggle is, I know that God is the same as he was then, and it says he's never changing. So
yes.
That is a aspect of God where, you know, I oftentimes hear people say, well, God would never do that. Well, obviously he would, and he hasn't changed.
Yeah, in fact, Stephen, and I just have to jump in because my time is
sure.
Short. Jesus is coming back, 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God.
Exactly.
Revelation 20 speaks of a great white throne judgment. Paul almost 20 times in his writings mentions the word for wrath and speaks of the coming wrath. Jesus wept over the destruction of Jerusalem, knowing that divine judgment was coming because they missed the time of their visitation. So you're 100% right in emphasizing the nature of God to judge sin. And what Joshua did was by the command of the Lord, and there were divine reasons for it. Let's also remember that the principles of a little child not being accountable for right or wrong until a certain point in their life is a factor as well. So my expectation is that the children that were slaughtered in battle immediately went into the presence of the Lord. Stephen, though, thanks for raising it, and thanks for getting your follow-up point, which is critically important. Our God is a compassionate Father and a righteous judge. All right, remember to take advantage of the special offer. You know, you hear constantly in the media, there's a boy trapped in a girl's body or a girl in a boy's body. It's now signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown in California that if you're a boy, you believe you're a girl, you're 17 years old, you can play on the girls' basketball team. As a boy, you can use the girls' locker room and bathroom. This is law now. We really need to understand these issues. We have a book written by Walt Heyer, a man who lived with torment for years, convinced he was really a woman, actually had hormone therapy and went through sex change surgery to become a woman and live with even greater torment and realized he was actually a man. His problem was not his physical body. His problem was his mind. He's written a tremendous book that really exposes the truth about this and gets past the glorifying of sex change surgery and all this that you see in the media today. It's called Gender Lies and Suicide. We'll send it to you for your gift of any size. So thanks for standing with us and allowing us to bless you with this book. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Let me give you that number again, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it's your angriest moment. At the time when you want to retaliate, remember how much mercy God has had on you. Remember the example of Jesus.